I'm always amazed when I'm invited to come and speak anywhere. I almost drop dead when I'm invited back. So either you're gluttons for punishment or else maybe there's something we can learn from one another here today. I have been undergoing all kinds of change in my life over the last couple of years. Actually, it started long before that. I used to have hair. So there have been a lot of changes over the years. I think that we need to grant that, that change happens. I've been thinking about change quite a bit and experiencing it, and people have encouraged me to share how it is that an old guy like me can actually go through some of the things that have happened that involve, of all things, millennials and things of that nature. Yeah, they're really not Martians. They are humanoids. They really are. So I want to share with you, not because I feel like I'm an expert, but because I have struggled too with change. I've had to go deeper into the Word of God on this subject than I've ever gone before, and to pattern my reactions, my desires, my inclinations according to Scripture, because that's really all that counts. We people who are Bible-believing people, we don't even want to burp unless we have biblical authorization for it. And so it's very, very important for us to look at this from a biblical perspective. Now, about this unusual opening slide. This is so profound. You're going to be so glad you came here today. An estimated 27.4 billion disposable diapers are used each year in the United States. Some of you have certainly used your share. But I'll tell you what, that's okay. That's okay. That, by the way, computes to approximately 3.4 tons of disposable diapers. That's a lot of changing. One change at a time. That's the way change happens. One change at a time. As we grow, other changes happen. Other changes happen. And that's the point of this series. Changing is not just for babies. As a matter of fact, it takes some real courage and some real maturity to experience the kind of change that we are going to be talking about. Change is probably one of the most difficult things that we experience in our whole lives. The very idea of change can be absolutely terrifying applied to certain areas of our lives. And the very idea of change is really my burden for this series. Not to necessarily implore you toward specific changes. If you desire me to make some evaluation and suggestions and advice, that's something else. But that's not the point of why I have accepted this kind invitation to come and speak to you on this important subject of change. I want us to just become comfortably biblical about the very idea of change on a lot of different levels. Change. Change. Now, cosmetically, have you ever thought how we resist change? With everything from Botox to plastic surgery, we are going to fight back with change. But guess what? The changes keep happening anyway. They just keep coming at us. Change. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if somebody had more than cosmetic solutions to the inexorable changes that come at us in our lives. Well, somebody has. God is in charge of change. Change is a very biblical thing. Change is a very godly thing to happen. And that's going to be the point of today's message, but I want to take a little trip around to come back to that. We're going to be talking today about the idea of change being biblical. But change is also very personal. Now, if we're Bible believers, then if it's biblical, we want it to be personal. We want to understand how to manage change, how to respond to it, to enter into it, and to thank God for it. I'll tell you how personal change is, right? I mean, I just heard your letter from the Farrells. That just happened the day before yesterday that I baptized Mike here without drowning him, which was a real concern. He was the first person I ever baptized in my life. Well, but a lot has happened since then. Now we're talking about retirement. Wow. Change. Overnight, our children change into adolescence, which is to say, they totally change into a whole new creation. They're different. Change really hits us hard when that takes place, right? Then they become adults. Our relationships with them change. Sometimes not for the better. Change happens. Speaking of relationships, marriage is a change like no other. My granddaughter is about to find that out in a couple of months. He's going to be married. Sweet little Brittany, he's going to be married. We live in a world in which unbelievers have even attempted to change the very definition of what marriage is. Change. Divorce is a shattering change, which some would argue is worse than the death of a spouse. It's hard. It's hard. It's a big change. There are profound changes related to, like, employment, which can certainly be change in location. We experience financial change. We experience change that are related to accidents or a diagnosis we never wanted to hear, or a trip back east for a funeral we never wanted to attend. Change. All kinds of change. In this series, when we talk about the personal nature of change, we're going to track a well-known biblical character who struggled mightily with change on his core level. We will learn how God carried him through those changes to a more fulfilling life than he had ever experienced or imagined. Maybe you can start guessing where we're headed with that. Now, for believers, I assume that's the majority, if not all, of those gathered in the room today. For believers, it can be particularly challenging when change becomes congregational. Yeah. Most of us are very comfortable. I stress very comfortable with our own ideas of what church should look like, what church should sound like, what church should feel like, what people ought to wear when they come to church, on the platform, preaching, or doing whatever. We have our ideas. And the idea of change is uncomfortable. I understand. It is not uncommon for church walls to echo with these words, "We will never change." Really? We will never change. Well, look at old photographs. Then look at the mirror. You say, we'll never change? Then as we look at old photos of our respective local churches and our previous leaders, founders, and then compare them to what we see when we look around today, we can't deny it. Change has happened. You know, preachers had this nasty habit of getting old and dying. Change happens. Rather than closing our eyes to reality, it makes more biblical sense on the congregational level to manage change wisely. The third installment of this series, the Lord willing, will examine a specific local church in the New Testament which was told they must change or die. That basically is every church of Christ. I've come to believe that. Just before launching into today's message, I want to affirm, though, three foundational truths. And you should have received a handout. And this is the point you can now start to see why we did the little handout thing here. These three foundational truths about change. Well, first of all, something that if you've been around biblical Christianity for very long, you've heard somebody say this, the Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. You've heard that. When we say that, we are actually saying the Bible and not our opinions. The Bible, not our preferences. The Bible, not our feelings. The Bible, not our experiences. The Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. Hanging around Christians as I have for about 150 years, I had a friend named Bob. He hung around Christians a lot longer than I have. But hanging around Christians for all of these decades, I think that we Christians may have done a better job of the Bible being our only rule of faith than we have our only rule of practice. After all, we have a lot of things. You can't find anywhere in the Bible that people would die for, or if they wouldn't die for it, they'd like to kill somebody else over it. Just matters of practice and preference that you can't find anywhere on the pages of Scripture. But we feel very strongly about these things. Again, I can raise my hand to that. See, I have an opinion about everything. If you don't believe that, just ask my wife. I do have an opinion about everything. But it must be the Bible. If we're going to talk about digging in our heels, you better have chapter and verse in context and accurately interpreted to go with it. Okay? Yeah, we do have this concept here that we have to never forget. Another foundational truth is that God and His Word are unchangeable. I mean, isn't it nice to know that there are some things that don't change? Everything else seems to be changing around about us. But God and His Word are unchangeable. James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. in Psalm 119 and verse 89. Don't you love the verse that says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." It's not going to change. So I want you to know that I believe, still believe, Lord willing, will always believe, that there are unchangeable realities. Now, the third foundational truth, and I will be mentioning these each time I come back to speak to you in this series. The third foundational truth is this. As long as it is in conformity to the Bible, okay, we must be willing to do whatever is necessary to increase our effectiveness in the cause of Christ, even if it involves significant change. What would we be willing to change? As long as it's not in contradiction to the Word of God, in order to make our lives and this church's ministry more effective. Remember, we have to be talking biblical issues here. As long as it's biblical, okay. We need to look carefully at ourselves and at our local church. Paul did say, did he not, in 1 Corinthians 9, "I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake." That can involve very, very unexpected changes. Things that before we said, I don't think I could ever go there and do that. I'm not talking about compromising the biblical principles. Never, never, never can we justify that. But never can we justify stubbornly digging in our heels to change when it would significantly increase our effectiveness in serving Christ. That's not radical. That's just being biblical. Change is hard, though. It is. I know. It's hard. Okay, so now let's get with this. The idea of change being biblical. And we want to turn to Joshua chapter 1. Some of you who, for better or for worse, have a little exposure to my ministry in the past, you will recall in your photographic memory that I preached from this passage 2 years ago last month. Because we as a congregation were on the leading edge of some change coming at us. It hadn't broken over us like the wave that it would be later on. But we had to think about impending change. And I wanted our people to think in terms of change being a biblical thing. We didn't exactly know what it would look like or sound like in all of its detail at that point. But change is biblical. We wanted to be reinforced that we would know how to proceed going into a time of change. So let's look at Joshua and Israel and learn with them how unavoidable and biblical change really is. We're going to return to about 1300 B.C. And this would be a time of difficult change for the nation of Israel and for Joshua. It was going to be a break with their past, as we see in the first couple of verses. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Now, you can't deny that that happens. And it did happen. Moses was dead. The great leader, Moses. These people identified with Moses. The man through whom God had given his law. How do you overestimate the importance of a man like Moses in the plan of God? How could you possibly then think of life without him? How could they go on? You've been there. You've experienced that. People that you just kind of automatically assume they would always be a fixture. But they're gone for whatever reason. They're gone. We become very comfortable with things and associations just as they have been. The death of Moses may serve as a helpful reminder that the beginning of every new day is preceded by the death of yesterday. We can never go back. We can never go back. And every day is different than the one before it. We can't go back, folks. We can't reclaim the past. That doesn't happen. What was just the present 10 seconds ago is now the past, and all we have before us is the future. The text that we're looking at is located in the Old Testament. The history of Israel is all about change. If you've read your Bibles, you know that. Israel. They have their ups and their downs. Seems like more downs than ups. But it was about change. Their future will bring even greater change. In Isaiah chapter 43, it says, "Remember ye not the former things." Isn't this interesting? "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing." We must not live in the past and think of the good old days as just automatically better than all the stuff going on today. And those pesky millennials again. What are we going to do? Well, let's not foolishly resist change. Even when it means moving on from fond memories of the past, we have a glorious promise in Revelation chapter 21, in verse number 5. "And he that sat on the throne said, Behold," you ready for this? "I make all things new." You know what? And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. I have great memories. I do. God gave me godly parents. But they're not with us anymore. God has given us a great spiritual heritage in many cases here, right? But that's then. This is now. So this change in Israel was a break with their past. It was going to involve these people going through a time of great struggle because change involves struggle. You just really almost always see that hand in hand. So we read, "Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan." It would have been hard enough for Joshua to have just said, "Joshua, you go." But this is not a small addition to the text here. "And all this people." Life would be pretty simple if it weren't for all those people out there. They have a tendency to have their own opinions, to go their own ways. To interact or not act at all in certain ways. Joshua and millions of sometimes very difficult people were about to experience massive change. they'd had what had become routine. But now their routine was going to change. Historically, God's people have been called on to accept profound change. The change from the Old Testament, for instance, to the New Testament. Think about that. It's the Old Testament. But for those people, it was there now. It's where they lived. It's how they worshiped. It's how they served God. But all that changed. It's the Old Testament gave way to the New Testament and the worship formats that we now have been given. I mean, Hebrews chapter 8, verses 7, and embed that with verse 13, in that he says, a new covenant. He has made the first covenant old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. We can barely even imagine how big a change that was. And a lot of people didn't like that change. You can visit Israel today and you'll find out it's populated by people who still don't like that change. And they refuse to accept it. They don't want anything to do with a new covenant and all of its teachings. They want nothing to do with it. They have resisted change to their own eternal damnation. May we be committed to God, God's truth, not to the past, certainly not to our preferences. Why in the world should you think that my preferences are worth you giving up your opinions to join with me? On the other hand, I won't go there. I don't have to agree with you either. So, what are we to do? Our unchanging Lord, remember we talked about, he doesn't change, and his unchanging word, we mentioned that too, these are the only real issues. These are the only issues. Hebrews, again, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's about him. It's not about our opinions, folks. It's not about our opinions. And, of course, his word. We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. These are our anchor points. So these people, we're going to struggle. They're going to struggle with each other, struggle with what was going on in this transitional time. They were going to a new place, to a new place. Go unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. God's Old Testament people had most recently spent 40 years wandering in the desert. That was about to radically change. They were no longer going to be wandering about aimlessly, it would almost seem. They were going to become a military nation. Imagine that. That's not the same as an extended camp out. They're going to become a military nation. They're going into combat against powerful enemies possessing the land. We say that like no big deal. It's a big deal. As we enter new territory, whether literally or figuratively, as we move into new territory, there will be struggles, but whatever we are going to be facing in new realities ahead, we do have a leader greater than Joshua leading us into the land, into his land. We don't face change alone. Psalm 24 and verse number 1, you see, the earth is the Lord's. And we're not just talking about the dirt. We're talking about the earth and everything that goes on in it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. It's all under his sovereign hand in control. And you know what? That's what makes it all good. We don't sing some of the old songs sometimes. That's okay. New songs are all right. But this is my Father's world. That's a good thing to remember, as it seems like everything is changing. Well, not everything is changing. The Lord and his word do not change, and his will prevails. Now, this change was certainly demanding, but as demanding as it was, they could trust God's promises. As a matter of fact, it demanded that they do trust God's promises. As they were moving into this possess the land routine now, under a new leader, they needed to hear these words: "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance," catch this, "the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Isn't that great? They were going to now experience the fulfillment of God's promises. Strength and fortitude would be required for this strenuous military campaign just ahead. They were going to see blood flow. They were going to face some nasty opponents. Joshua and the people had good reason, though, to be strong and courageous. They would succeed because God had promised the land to Abraham and his seed. So some of you are very familiar with these Old Testament promises. The Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "Unto thy seed have I given this land." They were now going to actually start to experience that on a day-to-day, week-by-week, month-by-month, and year-to-year basis. Because that's where change happens. It happens on a daily basis. This is not theoretical, folks. You and I will continue to face change. It's going to happen. This church will experience change. It cannot be avoided, and it shouldn't be avoided. But we still have the promises of God through all of this. In a degenerate culture where changes seem to go from bad to worse, we need to hang on to the promises of God like never before. In the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord said, "Blessed are the meek, for," guess what? "They shall inherit the earth." We have a great promise. It's all headed in that direction, isn't it? The Lord will rule and reign over it all, even in a more visible way than he does now, which, of course, he does now in his sovereignty. It was a demanding thing. They were to persist in obedience. All right, it says this: "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Isn't that what we want? Well, it's going to demand that we be obedient. We cannot be obedient to the Word of God if our first concern is defending our own turf. It's about the truth, not about our turf. But we never did it that way. So, what's your point? Well, that's not the way I've seen it. What's your point? I'm good at saying things like that. I have a lot of practice. I don't change easily. You know, it would require greater faith and strength of character to obey God's word than it would to engage in bloody conflict. Joshua was commanded to do three things. We saw them here, so we won't spend a lot of time on reviewing that. First of all, they were to implement the word of God, not just be aware of it, but to actually do something about it. They were to implement it, not just talk about it, but to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And then he was to meditate on the word of God night and day, to think about it, to think. Folks, that's all. We're talking about the very idea of change, and the idea of change that I'm interested in are the biblical ideas about change. And another thing, they were not to veer from it, from the Word of God. Hang on. This is one of the biggest things I've ever learned in my life, I think. I've had to learn a lot of big things in my life, because I find out that I was not born naturally agreeing with any of it. They were not to veer from the Word of God either to the left or to the right. Huh? We know going to the left and being liberal, that's bad. That's really, really bad. But neither would they go off course to the right either. Listen, if you don't invite me back, I'll understand. But I hope you'll invite me back. I want to say this. Traditional and conservative are not necessarily synonyms for truth. You cannot depart properly to the left, or you cannot veer properly to the right from the truth of God. But to stay firmly right on track, the Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. It really is. We don't need to be more biblical than biblical. And certainly we must not be less biblical than biblical. I happen to be a pretty traditional and conservative guy. But I cannot get into the game of defending traditional. We used to just let the Catholics do that. We have to be biblical. And in all of this change that they were experiencing, it was like upheaval. This was like uncomfortable. We have to do what? God would give them peace. And here's the promise about that. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, and be not afraid. Let's not be afraid of this idea of going into new territory, moving into new territory for God. You know what? It's exciting. It's the closest thing to the fountain of youth I've found lately. It's great. New experiences, new people, new ways of doing things. But I still don't like what I see when I look in the mirror. I'm getting so old. That kind of change continues to happen too. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Don't be afraid of this idea that we need to do whatever it takes to make whatever changes are necessary to advance the cause of Christ as long as it does not violate the Word of God. Don't be afraid of that concept, folks. Don't be afraid, because therein is biblical success. That's where it's found. Let's wrap it up with this wonderful reminder again. For them and for us, this change was under divine control. It's not out of control. It's under divine control. They would be protected. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Really? About 3 years ago, Paul Karpenko was my tour guide. And one of the places we visited was Hazor, considered to be one of the most significant archaeological sites in Israel. It was one of the most fortified, impregnable Canaanite fortresses you can imagine. Guess who took it over? God gave it to his people. They were protected. Even when they knocked on the door of Hazor, they were protected. You know, we read this verse, and I know it's Old Testament. I know it's an application. I get it. But it does say, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. God was present with them after all. Now, Joshua had some pretty big sandals to fill. Moses? He couldn't be another Moses. He was Joshua. He wasn't Moses. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail you, Joshua. I'll not fail you. I'll not forsake you, Joshua. So don't you, Joshua, be dismayed about this thing that you're going to have to do now. Joshua needed to hear that. And the people needed to know that Joshua heard that so that they could confidently follow his leadership. God was present with them. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. There would be big changes. But as they move forward, God would be with them in their move forward. That's one thing that would not change. And his protection and his presence are perpetual. And that kind of brings us right where we live today. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Where are you going? People, Lord will be with you. Where are you going, church? Walk according to his word, and you can have his blessing. Even though you might be doing things a little different in the future than in the past. It's okay. As long as it's biblical. And not, don't, Lloyd, don't try to make a biblical case for something that isn't biblical. It's easy to do, at least to try to do that. Well, there's my picture again. We're about done. How many are the changes? If you've had any of these little creatures in your house, you know that changes are a good thing when they're needed. A very good thing. A very good thing. But don't fear. When on the other level, changes become necessary. Today's message has demonstrated the change. I think we've demonstrated this. Change is biblical. Very biblical thing. This is just one example, right? One example. God's people in every age have experienced change. You know, if we were to fast forward, and I'm going to do that, to the end of Joshua's life. Now, he's had his career. He's experienced all kinds of things. God has helped him. He's had everything from Jericho to Ai to deal with. He's done all of this. But toward the end, here is what we find him saying in Joshua chapter 24. Verses 14 and 15. And may this describe us. Now, therefore, he said to the people, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. As for me and my house, he could have said, we will just keep on serving the Lord. Because it's been a good run. It's been a good thing. These years of change in a new place, experiencing God's goodness. If we could turn the clock ahead and look back on what God can do, even in a new place and in new ways, we would say, yes, it's a good thing that we followed the Lord in that pathway as well. So may God bless this series. And we'll meet you again and continue this at a time yet to be firmly established, but I think we kind of know when the next one's going to be. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, unchangeable God that you are, thank you for giving us your unchangeable word so that as we experience sometimes devastating changes in our lives, sometimes just uproariously thrilling, joyful changes in our lives, and everything in between, we can experience your blessing. And Lord, as a local church, I know these dear people want your blessing. And Lord, we are always, whether we mean it to be or not, we're always in a state of transition. It's just always happening. People come, people go. Trends blow in one direction and then another direction. Lord, help us to always adopt the concept that we want to be most effective. So give us the courage and the faith to be biblical, but also to be open to doing whatever is necessary within the bounds of biblical guidelines to glorify your name to the utmost. You are worthy. In Jesus' name I pray.